Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
And only on August 9th, 2018.
That's right. A beautiful day here.
It is a beautiful day.
I hope it's a beautiful day on August 9th.
I do. I think when I woke up, it was.
Good to see you, Michael. How you doing? You holding up okay?
I have been okay, yeah. I finally got a big project underway, as you well know. LA's Next Great Stage Star, our 12th anniversary year of this very important...
12 years of LA's Next Great Stage Star. And how many Broadway performances have come from LA's Next Great Stage Star?
Performers,
yeah. How many times have they been on Broadway?
22 have made their Broadway debuts already.
Amazing.
Out of a total collective a number of contestants of 228. Throughout
Amazing.
The years. And two of them are on Broadway right now in their third and fourth Broadway shows.
Can they get me tickets? That's the question.
That's what I said. First thing that came to mind.
That's great, man. That is awesome.
So,
how's the show looking?
It looks wonderful at the beautiful El Portal Theater, the historic El Portal Theater in North Hollywood.
Now, is my good friend Justin Michael Wilcox hosting again?
He's great performer. He's the host of the evening and keeps all the contestants hopping.
So. I'll bet he does.
And in stitches as well. So, yes, that was a strenuous couple of weeks leading up to the competition, and we're out and running there on Monday nights. At the El Portal Theater main stage. And for tickets, you just go to elportaltheater.com.
So, elportaltheater.com.
Yeah, we
That's
were
great.
Sold out on opening night. So.
Wow. And, of course, people can Google LA's Next Great Stage Star, and they'll find some great info there. Michael, obviously, this is a lot of good stuff going on today. And we have an exciting show for our listeners today, don't we?
That we do, Andrew. We have with us the writer and director of the world premiere production of Famous, as well as one of the recipients of the Second City's prestigious Bob Curry Fellowship. Please welcome to the program this fine day, Mr. Michael Leone and Idle Bray.
All right. Michael, how are you? Idle, good to see you again. How are you?
Yeah, good.
You guys doing okay?
Yeah.
Excited to be on State of the Arts?
Absolutely.
Boy, we're excited to have you. And not only that, but man, I had a great time learning about you guys and these amazing projects. Looking forward to talking about that a little bit more. Will you hang with us while we pay some bills?
Sure.
Absolutely. And before we pay the bills, did I mispronounce your name?
You did.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay.
So it's Idle.
Most people do. Mm-hmm. Idle.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like little,
like
but little. Idle.
Right.
Little.
Idle.
Say that fast three times.
Little plays the fiddle.
And we'll have to post a picture of our guests here in a moment on Instagram so everybody can see their beautiful faces,
Yes.
Michael, before we jump into other stuff, we should go ahead and pay some bills, yeah?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Absolutely. We'd like to, ladies and gentlemen, thank Princess Cruises for coming on board as presenting sponsors for State of the Arts during 2018, a pioneer in excellence on the high seas for meaningful travelers who seek enriching experiences. Only Princess Cruises offers cruise vacations to help you come back new, provide you with fresh perspectives by connecting you with nature, cultures, and loved ones in a new way.
One of the best-known names in cruising, Princess Cruises first set sail in 1965 with a single ship cruising to Mexico. Today, the line has grown to become the third largest cruise line in the world, renowned for innovative ships, an array of onboard options including extravagant entertainment, and an environment of exceptional customer service. A recognized leader in worldwide cruising, Princess carries approximately 1.7 million guests each year to more than 360 destinations worldwide aboard a fleet of 17 modern vessels.
Experience the next wave in vacation travel. At the end of each month from September to August, one lucky winner will win a cruise for two in a balcony stateroom on board one of the new Ocean Medallion class ships. And to do that, you have to come to LATalkRadio.com and then go to our page, State of the Arts LA, and sign up to be entered in that contest. It could happen to you. This is a vacation for two, and those accommodations are valued at $5,000.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's not too shabby.
$5,000. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing, Michael.
Make sure that you enter every month for your chance to win.
Great. And obviously, as always, we'd like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts here in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to State of the Arts.
They are a great resource for sure. And Andrew, since I haven't seen you in a week, what's going on with you?
It's been a busy week, a little bit running back and forth, lots of errands and different kind of things going on. But I'm enjoying the summer. The heat is getting to me a little bit.
Yeah.
Are you surviving it okay? I mean, it's been brutal. I don't know if, I mean, our place, we don't have air conditioning. So,
what?
Yeah.
It's, well, but it's, you, oh, well, that's because he lives in Malibu.
Well, yes.
That's
so
too bad, isn't it?
There's five nights a year where it's too hot to sleep, right? Because everybody thinks the beach is there, so you open the windows. But if that air is hot and humid and still, you can open up all the windows you want. That ain't helping. So it was strange because I don't usually deal with that, but the heat had everybody on edge. Have you noticed that?
Is it humid out there?
So humid. Oh, my goodness.
That's
like being back in Kentucky. Yeah, it was brutal. It was brutal. So. How about you, Michael? Did you see any shows this week?
Other than my own, no.
Which is more than enough.
Yeah, two down with that. But we talked about On Your Feet at the Pantages, which is still just doing great business for them over there, and what a beautiful show that is.
As it should. We loved that show, and obviously the Pantages is such a great venue. Also, Susan Egan on stage in Thousand Oaks, California,
right,
with Five Star Theatricals, and what I hear is just an amazing production of Beauty and the Beast.
I will tell you one thing that I did do and saw a little bit of, but it's not the formal show, is that you know that I do all the coverage for Broadway World TV here in Los Angeles. So we had I spent a day with the cast of Annie.
At the Bowl.
At the Hollywood Bowl.
That's right, yeah.
And it's quite a cast.
Wow.
Leah Salonga is playing Grace.
Wow.
David Alan Grier is playing Warbucks.
How awesome, my goodness.
Steven Weber is playing Roosevelt.
I love Steven Weber, he's great.
And there are just a ton of that. Megan Hilty is playing Lily St. Regis.
So did she have to look up in 113-degree heat and seeing the sun will come out tomorrow?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
As
everyone passes out. Thank goodness. Thank goodness.
And Roger Bart is playing the counterpart to Megan Hilty's character.
Awesome.
It's just so star-studded.
Cool.
And and the most fun interview I had was with the dog.
Fun.
The rest of them were very delightful. But the dog
is
so incredibly smart.
Wow.
And he was there with his owner.
Wow.
And I said, so, you know, I talked to the owner and I said, so you train this animal for this production specifically? He said, oh, no. He has 2,000 performances under his belt.
Wow.
He does every major production of it in the country.
Wow.
And he has got it. He just adjusts to the people. And with each Annie, the trainer sends the dog home for a sleepover.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
Fun.
Wow.
And so that they can bond. And,
that's awesome.
And, isn't that sweet, right?
That is truly amazing. That's great. Well, we've obviously, I was actually looking here just a moment ago, we've had a bunch of people from Broadway who manage the stuffed animals that appear in different Broadway shows, because apparently this is a thing, is that they have to have the right stuffed animals for different productions and things like that. There was a bear that was featured in a show, and they recently followed us on Instagram, and there was a lot of commentary going back and forth by people who have seen multiple performances by the same stuffed animal on Broadway, which I thought was funny. So they choose their show based off which show the stuffed animal's in, which I thought was very funny. Yeah.
Unusual.
Well, you find a way to go see what shows you're going to go see. You know, you say, hey, look, I got to follow something. I'll follow this performer and see how his career progresses. Those headshots never need to change, which is a good thing. Lots of cool stuff out there. So the dog performer was trained specifically for theater in general, but working at the Bowl has to be hard. You're outdoors. You got all those distractions.
I mean, you know, the trainer makes adjustments based on the size and the direction and the choreography.
Wow.
But he's got it down, so. And he's so sweet, and the trainer has only, and any of the dogs he trains, he only trains rescue dogs.
Wow.
So I'm sure that this dog has an understudy, too. So. But it was fun, great fun.
That's great.
Yeah. Shall we get on with this?
Let's do it.
All right. Our first guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a writer and director whose recent production of Elevator ran for 7 months. Andrew, you saw that production.
I did.
At the Coast Playhouse and 10 months at the Hudson and Matcha. Matcha or Maca?
Matcha
Theater. Wow.
Theaters.
The show was in L.A. Times Best Bet and a Critics Pick, as well as earning 11 Broadway World Award nominations, including Best New Work. He wrote and directed The Playground, a rock musical-infused piece inspired by the lives of homeless children, which ran for at least once a year for 5 consecutive years.
Mm-hmm. And he directed the one-woman show Listen, Can You Hear Me Now? At the New York Fringe Festival, and won Best of Fringe at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Other New York theater credits include the rock musical Loud, as well as writing and directing Enigma and Deviant.
Film credits include writing and directing the multiple award-winning feature documentary American Street Kid, which will be in theaters this fall. Other films include Radford, Road, Deliver Us, Disappear Here, Spare Some Change, and Someplace in Between.
He is in post-production on the feature film When Tota... He's in production of
the hashtag fooled you, didn't it?
It did. When Today Ends, and has just completed his new book, Dare to Be Bad. I want to talk about that, too. So he's here today, ladies and gentlemen, to tell us about the world premiere play, Famous, on stage at the 1111... A new performance space on Kings Road in the heart of Hollywood. Please welcome Michael Leone.
That's right. Michael, great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Now, you got to tell me about hashtag When Today Ends. That's the name, right? It's hashtag. So it's obviously the pound sign and then When Today Ends. People can follow that on Instagram, I would assume, and all that sort of thing. Tell me about the concept for the name, and have you had any difficulties publicizing it with all these hashtags going around?
We're still in the middle of post-production, so we have one more. We finished half the movie, then we have one more thing to shoot over the summer.
Cool.
But it's about kids on social media and the struggle that they're going through online. And they created this hashtag to spread around the world their message.
And can you tell me a little bit about the message behind that and what they're kind of trying to get out there as far as the word?
Can I give that away?
We got secret information, breaking news on State of the Arts. I like it.
Well, I think the thing is that the whole concept behind the film is the reveal, right? But essentially, these four kids are documenting a day in their life on social media, and it deals with all kinds of social issues. So it deals with everything from bullying to drug addiction, and sort of how these kids are dealing with that and not dealing with it well. On top of that, so it's just sort of I hate to use the word commentary because it's not really a commentary, but it really just sort of does break it down and give us a different perspective.
Well, now the voice you're hearing here is Michael's producer, Michelle. Michelle, can you introduce yourself a little bit and tell us where you came from?
My name is Michelle Calfer, and I am Mike Leone's producing partner. The name of our production company is an 1111 Experience. And therefore, the name of our new venue is the 1111.
And this is a live performance space venue on Kings Road, correct?
Yes, I it's the former Matcha Theater. Actually.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, great. Yeah. Really? Well, I got to tell you, as I went back and read over some of this material from what you've done, it seems like so much of the work that you've done is focused on youth and growth and that sort of thing, which as a father of 2 children, there's nothing more important today than how we take care of our children and the next generation, particularly with what they're exposed to. How did you fall in love with that subject matter, both of you?
About the movie?
Just in general, children and taking care of the next generation.
I just think it's important. I think that it's time to wake up society to what's happening in the world, and kids is where we start. And I think that each project we deal with is not really focused on kids, but more about humanity. And
That's weird because my children have no humanity. They've proven that time and time again, but I'm with you.
But when I bring kids to see the work that we're doing, it opens them up and they want to help, and which is that's the goal of our company, is to get people to wake up and
so important.
Each other. Yeah.
Michelle?
Right. I think Michael kind of hit it, because while the last two projects you mentioned are certainly focused on kids and teenagers more specifically, but the objective for the company is connection. I think it was the message of Elevator, if you saw it.
Yeah.
But that we are really more the same than we are different.
That's right.
Regardless of your political beliefs or your persuasion or what your race or your color or your creed. At the end of the day, we all want the same things, we all need the same things, and we're all way more the same than we are different. And
I think that's really right.
If I had to nail down a through line of all of Michael's projects, I would say that would be it.
Cool.
Because people leave and what they're talking about are human things, and not political things and not opinionated things, but things that we can all agree on. Right?
Yeah, it's all together.
It brings us together. Yeah, it's connection, about connection.
Very well said.
Yeah, very well said. Thank you.
So I have her here.
Take her everywhere you go?
Exactly. Yeah. Oh,
it sounds fascinating. And with the space, I'm very familiar with that theater, actually. I've worked there handling business for that theater on a couple of occasions. It actually was the original Old Globe.
Old Globe Playhouse.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Based on the actual design of the theater, to the extent of which it is in that smaller space, which makes it a cool theater. They saw the balcony and...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the ghosts of Shakespeare don't like it. Came in and really kind of contemporized it. So
cool. Oh, they did?
We did.
Oh,
yeah.
You did?
We shook it up a little bit, yeah.
Gutted the place. And...
Well, the set was standing since 1974.
Yeah. Wow.
So the wood was all termite rotted and, you know, it kind of had to go, and I think
Buy it, or did you?
We're the owners of this. I mean, we don't own
the building.
You rent the space in the company.
That's
cool.
That's our space.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And you should come see
it
because it's totally different.
Can't wait to see it.
It's going to be for, you know, comedy, dance. It has a bar and a cool cafe, so we're making
love it.
Like, a place for artists to come and hang out.
What is the seating capacity?
99 for theater, and then 120-130 for cabarets and bands and stuff like that.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Good.
Certainly a lot of through lines there with all the great work that we've seen here, and certainly shows that you've produced, Michael, as well. So many great things going on out there. It must be interesting to be involved with a new space and trying to get the word out there about the space. That's got to be a bit of a challenge.
It's a nightmare.
What are your goals for that? Are you pursuing, obviously, social media? Are there other ways that you're pursuing it?
I would say social media is probably the biggest drive, right? But there's also the neighborhood connections. We're working with WeHo Arts, the city of West Hollywood, the mayor of West Hollywood. Yeah.
Cool.
Like, they're all super passionate, because part of our goal with the space is to bring more of an off-Broadway quality to the theater community in Los Angeles.
I
think that, you know, that is really exciting for John Duran, who's the new mayor of West Hollywood. And, you know, they've since bought the Coast Playhouse. So the idea is that little pocket between Sweetser and King's Road becomes a little theater district for
it
West
It could
Hollywood.
Be, and it's so walkable. Mm-hmm. So many great places to eat there. That's a really cool thing.
Yeah,
and also decent parking, I guess, in that structure.
We have a parking lot right across the
Wow, I didn't know that. That's great.
Amazing.
That's so important.
That's as important as buying a ticket.
And it's not expensive. The parking
is expensive. I sometimes go just for parking. I just sit in the car.
It's
a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, what a cool thing. Now, tell me about Famous and how this came about.
Yeah.
He points to me. Okay. Well, what's interesting about it is that it was originally written as a film. And, you know, we were working on it at one point, and then we were in the middle of the American Street Kid, the feature doc that literally was 8 years, and we had no way of knowing it was going to take 8 years, but it did. So the film version of this sort of just got shelved for a moment, and Michael's creative brain was spinning as we were wrapping out Elevator, and he said, "I really think we should make it into a play," and so he revised it, and so it's totally not even the same script.
Wow.
But the core of it, the core message is the same, but it's a new script, and he adapted his own screenplay to stage, and it's, of course, I think it's brilliant. I'm a producer, like, obviously. But yeah, so...
We did previews last weekend.
Yeah.
Cool.
Went really well.
Audiences were really responding.
What's the subject matter?
Young Hollywood, 1994.
Wow.
Kind of before we knew a lot of what we know now.
Yeah, that was right before I paid $2,000 for headshots.
Yeah.
I got out here in 97, and I'm no kidding, my agent said, "I got a girl who's going to be great for it." Okay. I went over and I shot with her, and she just, I mean, she maybe five looks, you know, something like that, change your shirt. And then she gave me a bill for $2,000, and I thought, well, the agent pays that, right?
Yeah.
Nope. But my 18-year-old dumb self just wandered the streets in Hollywood going, "Man, that was $2,000. That was my rent money. I'm going to need that back." Cool. So this is obviously a personal experience you'd had at some point. Dealing with young Hollywood?
Personal experience as far as people in the industry abusing their power.
Right.
So I have a little bit of experience with that. But this is a story that needs to be told, and it's people are talking about it now with the Me Too movement, but this is, we've gone further in a secret that is kept in Hollywood that no one is really talking about.
And, a true secret.
Yeah, and we're exposing it, and I think it's important that people see what kids and, you know, people in their 20s and 30s are going through.
Good. Well, I'd love to hear that. Now, this is a live work. It's a theater piece. But is there also a film component to it as well?
Well, the play is very much like a film. It moves quickly.
Okay.
The lighting design and staging is very film-like, very quick edits. It feels like you're watching a play. A film, really. But there's a heaviness to it, and there's hope to it, but there's a heaviness to it that people are not I don't think people know what's really happening.
Cool.
Yeah.
Why do you reference Young Hollywood as being 1994?
Well, no, that's just when that's the time and place that the play takes place.
Okay.
That's so it is about Young Hollywood in 1994, and it just that's just the setting of the play. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, this is fascinating. Obviously, I love the work that you did. I had a chance to read up on a lot of the stuff that you did with the homeless children and a lot of the things that you kind of pursued and learning about their lives. We talked a little bit about before the show about how if we don't take care of the children who are out there and stranded, then the next generation is going to be weaker and weaker and weaker, and we're starting a cycle. I think that's something that you, as a very young man, saw early on and hopefully can help do something against. How do you want other people to see the homeless population through your projects? Is there something that you wanted to show them that they maybe hadn't known before?
I think the first thing is that there's 18,000 kids pretty much under the 18 living on the streets of Los Angeles.
Yeah.
It's 2 million kids in this country. 5,000 kids die a year.
Every day?
Every 13 kids die a day. Yeah, but 5,000 kids are dying on the streets every day.
Yeah.
And people don't understand. And the biggest misconception is that they want to be there. That can't be further from the truth. I've met probably over 3,000 kids, and maybe one or two were just there for fun.
Yeah,
they were thrown out at a really young age or leaving home. Like, if the streets are better than what you're living in, then that should tell you something.
Now, can you tell me a little bit about the foundation you've started?
Sure. So the name of the organization is Spare Some Change. And we formed the organization during the process of shooting the film. And I think there were some things that we learned sort of just crash course, fall on your face, right? And I think one of the most important things was that you could give a kid a sweatshirt, and you can give them a bed, and you can give them a paycheck, and you can give them a job. But unless you start working on what's going on inside, that kid isn't going to be able to, A, sustain that in any way. Because as soon as... excuse me, it hits the fan,
right,
they're going to run back to what they know.
You can say it on this program. It's okay.
Thank you. I stopped myself and I cut off the first two letters. But I think everybody knows what I mean. But like, so unless you start working on the core emotions, because kids, like, just take, for example, a kid whose parents get divorced. That kid, no matter what, is going to think it's their fault.
Yeah.
So when a kid gets abused or neglected or booted out of their house, of course they think it's their fault. And they hold that energy. We all do. We all have our own dysfunctions from childhood.
Yeah.
So unless you're going to work with that kid and really get them to learn how to love themselves and believe in themselves, they're just going to run the same pattern because they're a human being and we all do that. Mm-hmm. So that's what we learned. So we started a mentoring program, a one-on-one mentoring program, working with kids and really like trying to convince them that they're loved and that we love them and that they can love themselves. And with the change that we saw was immense and intense.
And putting that into action, like them going to college,
mm-hmm,
and getting their life together.
One getting jobs.
Very successful and massage therapist.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And I think in partnership with the mentoring, we also realized that nobody really knows what's going on. And the people that do realize that they're homeless teenagers think that they want to be there, think that they're troublemakers. And so for us, we were like, how can we use our skill set to change that? And that's media.
Yeah.
So whether that's a documentary film or a radio program or, you know, PSAs or whatever we can do, that's something that's an objective of the organization too. So mentoring and media.
Very cool.
Very valiant, too.
Important work, no doubt about it. One of the things that I found interesting was that someone had commented on an article that was linked to one of your pages where they'd said, the real problem is that these kids who are out there now and aren't getting helped grow up to be adults. And when you see a homeless adult, you almost always assume, well, then they chose this for sure because they're a grown person. They could choose to change their life. A child, I think people don't understand how quickly that becomes an adult out there. And then you're a street person. Then you're a street kid who feels more comfortable on the street because you've been acclimated to it. And you have a hard time readjusting. Whereas if you can stop it early, you can do something about it and help them kind of reassimilate in a way that's positive for them.
That's truth. If you went out and interviewed 100 homeless adults, you'd be surprised at how many of them actually came through the foster care system.
That's right.
Or, you know, were aged out at 18 with nowhere to go.
But even to this day, like if a kid were to call me, I run into a kid that wants to go off the street, where do you put them?
Yeah.
Shelter where they get more abuse there.
Yeah.
Or raped in shelters.
Right.
So it's a very challenging thing. There's limited resources to help kids right now.
Certainly a heavy topic, but one that needs to be talked
about
more. And when we talk about starting at the bottom, if we can't solve this, then why do we care about all the other issues we're talking about? That's an important thing.
I agree.
Yeah. Very well said.
It's easy to run away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the play sounds important, and I think, ladies and gentlemen, that you should take heed to this message that's being sent today.
No doubt about it. Easiest way to get tickets is to go to www.famoustheplay.com. You can obviously call in as well if you want, 323-378-6969. Again, that number is 323-378-6969. Obviously, tickets are very well priced, actually. $35, I believe, is general admission. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
VIP tickets available for $50. What's that include, a VIP ticket?
Reserved seating, and shortly that will also include a glass of wine or beer.
You know, I'm happy to publicize that, but I'm going to need a sample immediately.
Yes.
In order to be able to do it. The space we're talking about is the new space. It's at 1111. That's like 11 o'clock in the afternoon, or in the pre-afternoon, I guess. It's located at 1107 North Kings Road in West Hollywood.
That's right.
Right next to Hugo's.
That's, ooh. Well, yeah, now like I know what I want
for
lunch.
For Hugo's.
That's
because they're also a partner of ours. We'll be doing dinner and a show with Hugo's. So
Oh, really?
You'll be
nice.
Able to.
Nice.
But for the end of this week, you'll be able to go onto our website and purchase dinner and a show, and or you just literally take your ticket into Hugo's and get a price fixed dinner. And
I've never had a bad meal there. Everything there is always good.
Always
good.
They're great.
She said price fixed.
Prefixed. Excuse me.
That's okay.
I knew. I saw your face when I said it. I said, should I be pretentious and say pre or should I say price?
Well, no, because then I thought I might be saying.
No. It's totally fine. I know.
Well, I think this is a great project, and I think there's obviously a lot of things that you care about. I'm interested to hear about what's coming up next. You promise us you'll stay in contact here and
Absolutely.
Let us know what things are going
yeah,
on?
Because you have a book in the works, right?
Yes.
Oh, it's out right now, yeah.
Oh, it's out?
Yeah.
Right now. Oh, my
yeah.
gosh.
What's it called?
Dare to be Bad.
And where can people go to get that?
It's at Samuel French. You can buy it on Amazon. It's in
Dare
bookstores.
To be Bad. Is
yeah.
it about
yeah.
you?
I'm sorry?
Is it about you, or is it
Oh,
about
no. It's about how artists need to let go and get out of our heads and focus on why we are artists and not the headspace that we all the doubt that we have. It's about letting go of the doubt and being the artist you're supposed to be.
It's kind of like a little pocketbook.
It's a handbook.
So it's like a little handbook, yeah. So there's...
Because, I mean, you kind of look like you could be a little bad boy.
You troublemaker at all?
Maybe.
Uh-oh. It's funny how many times artists do get stuck in that day-to-day life where they need to go back and find convention, pay the rent, these kind of things. But you're right. If you can let go of that, some great things can come.
Yeah, I always say to them, to anyone I work with, whether it's a lighting designer or an actor, why are you doing what you're doing? And at the end of the day, they go, because we want to tell a story.
Yeah.
And that's what we forget. We get lost in all the business crap that we deal with. And it's about why we do it.
No doubt about it.
Absolutely.
You guys hang around with us for a little bit while
Absolutely.
We do a live arts calendar and talk to our wonderful next guest. Thank you so much. Opening Night, the improvised musical, is exactly that, a Broadway-style musical that is made up on the spot based on a single audience suggestion. Therefore, every night is opening night of a musical that has never been seen. Sadly, it is also the closing night, but closing night sounds so very final, and not even this cast can withstand the damage done by weekly rap parties.
Since 1998, Opening Night's cast of veteran improvisers has combined Chicago and Los Angeles improv with the Broadway stylings of Rodgers and Hammerstein, Gilbert and Sullivan, and Andrew Lloyd Webber, resulting in over 1,000 original musicals.
Don't miss the musical that LA Weekly voted Best of LA and the magazine and In Magazine calls an incomparable piece of insanity. Opening Night is on stage now through August 17th at the Second City Studio Theater.
For tickets or more information, call 323-464-8542 or visit secondcity.com/Hollywood.
That's right. That's right. Sounds like a great piece. And we've seen a few of those kind of things. Always entertaining, always fun.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is a graduate of the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater in New York and currently a grad review student at Second City Conservatory. She began her training as a classical ballet dancer before embarking on her professional acting career.
She has appeared in several national commercials, performed sketch and improv around Los Angeles, and annually directs the LA chapter of a global art installation via Heidi Latsky Dance, commemorating the International Day of Persons with Disabilities.
Some theater credits include Rumors, Prisoner of Second Avenue, and Naomi in the Living Room. Other credits include Everyone I Love is Dead, Gossiper, Space Trash, 101 Songs, and Spooky House Storytime.
She's here today, ladies and gentlemen, to tell us more about her Bob Curry Fellowship, a master program launched by the Second City Diversity and Training Center. Please give a warm welcome to the very beautiful Idyl Bray.
Thank you.
I've asked Michael to tone down the number of good-looking people on the show, but he just won't do it. Whenever I sit next to good-looking people, it always makes me a little sad. I feel like I need to get up and get gussied up in the morning. Both our guests came in looking really good today. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
They wasted on the radio.
And Michael's tan to beat the Jesus. And
I'm dressed like
big blue eyes. And there you go.
You were both a lot of fun when we talked a little bit before the show. Now, this is obviously a cool project that you're involved in here, this fellowship. Can you tell me a little bit about it and how it came to be?
Yeah, it's wonderful. And I feel so grateful to have this opportunity. It's been going on for 5 years now in Chicago, the mecca of improv comedy and where the Second City started.
That's right.
So this is the inaugural I'm on a prefix thing, here in LA. So we're just thrilled, all of us.
So did you just recently move out here?
3 years ago.
Wow, very cool. And how are you liking it?
I was just talking with Michael about this. I love it now, but I didn't right away.
That Chicago transition can be tough for people.
Well, I moved here from New York.
Wow, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Is that a more difficult or an easier transition, would you think?
It depends.
I feel like New Yorkers can kind of live anywhere. They're always at home in New York, but I kind of feel like they can walk anywhere on the earth and be like a Roman citizen, right? I'm from New York. I can always go home, you know?
Yeah, they're two different cities. I mean, if you get off the plane in New York, the city just wraps you up in it.
Yeah.
You know, you're just a part of it. And then when you get out in L.A., there's like a tumbleweed goes by and someone brings you a shovel. And
right.
Like, good luck. You know, and you have to, it's a wasteland, but it's beautiful because if you do decide to stay here, I think once you start digging and finding the right people, the right community, I think is very important.
They didn't even give me a shovel. Sent me
so
all
you're
the
just
way.
Using your nails.
That's right. That's right.
Terrible.
What an amazing thing, though. And obviously, Second City is so well respected and so many great shows going on. How many shows do you do there?
I went through the program there, so I'm not performing currently. I was on a house team earlier this year.
And do you still keep rehearsals up even when you're not performing?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, absolutely.
How many times a week?
All the time.
Wow.
It's my life.
I know it's immersive,
It's my life, and I love it, and it doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
And all of the good friends that I have in my community, my tribe now, are other improvisers, sketch writers.
Yeah.
So we're always, if we're not, I perform at least like once a week at a place called The Clubhouse. I'm not sure if
cool.
you've heard of it, but it's just like a gym for improvisers.
Very cool.
It's fun.
Very cool. Members of that organization have gone on to something like Saturday Night Live. Haven't a significant
amount.
Oh, from
Second City?
Yeah.
Oh, it's everyone almost. Yeah, you've got Tina Fey, Rachel Dratch, everyone.
Amy Poehler, too, I believe. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, Gilda Radner.
Will Ferrell? He was with Second City for a while, I think.
Speaking of that, Mike.
Yeah.
And a guest star, too.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right.
Annie.
That's exactly right. Nice connection, no doubt. Yeah. I recently just saw David Letterman's new series, My Next Guest Needs No Introduction, where he did Tina Fey, and it was amazing to watch him talk to her and just kind of her life story. She's such an amazing talent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So many great things. Huh?
Would you say?
Tina Fey?
Yes.
Yeah, she was, I mean, she's just, I've always respected so much just where she comes from with her comedy.
Yeah.
She's very funny, very insightful, which I think is great. I want you to tell me a little bit more about this installation that you do, the dance installation, that benefits, I believe it's commemorating the International Day of Persons with Disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds amazing and convoluted in its title. What's the focus and where did it come from? How did it spring up?
It's my mentor created it, Heidi Latsky, of Heidi Latsky Dance in New York. And I had gone through many periods of injury, and I stopped dancing for a while. And I went to see her show. A friend of mine brought me. And I saw wonderful dancers that had cerebral palsy, were missing limbs, and they were moving so beautifully.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a classical ballet background, so it's like, if it's not perfect, it's not dance.
Right.
So to see something like that was a paradigm shift for me, and it just changed the way I approach art and dance in general. So she's been doing this installation for a while now in New York.
Now, we say installation. That's an artsy word. Does it just mean a bunch of people get in a building and start dancing?
Well, it's a sculpture court, actually.
Wow.
Yeah, of people of all different abilities
Always the same location?
All over the world.
Okay, amazing.
Yeah, so
wow.
I've been directing the LA chapter for 2 years now. This will be my third year. And essentially, it's just people standing and being seen. Because whether it's homeless people or anyone who is kind of on the fringe of society, people are afraid to stare. They're afraid to really look.
Yeah.
And so it's a space where people can walk through a sculpture court of different bodies and really look at them. And they're not moving much. Mm-hmm. They're kind of just morphing, but they don't leave their position. And it's beautiful.
So they change positions and they kind of they create poses in a way.
Yes.
Dance-inspired poses. That's amazing. And it goes on multiple places at the same time?
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
It's in partnership with the UN. So then they, on December 3rd, they play, I guess, a mix of all the different cities around the world together.
And the goal is to get people to stop and acknowledge one another?
Yeah, to be seen and celebrated for who you are, as you are, without... It's really hard for performers to do, actually,
sure.
to just stand there and breathe without
you're
any
normally putting
sort
on a skin,
of,
yeah.
yeah.
That's very true.
Just to be human.
Yeah.
And some people cry. It's like a meditation.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
That's amazing. Very, very cool.
Well, most performers aren't human, are
they? I know, just barely, just barely.
Now, speaking of what we're speaking of, Michael Arden, who is the director of Anne,
of course,
has done a beautiful thing with the role of Star to Be, if you know the show. Mm-hmm. And it's a big step out in the big
NYC
York,
number, yeah.
NYC
uh-huh.
number, and she is confined to a wheelchair for life.
Mm.
And she is so beautiful.
That's beautiful.
And she has this amazing voice. And when that part of that number comes up and the audience sees her coming out in a wheelchair, I'm sure they will
she
be
was
on
in
their
Spring
feet.
Awakening, too.
Yeah.
Pardon?
She was in Spring Awakening.
I believe she was. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
probably.
Beautiful.
He is amazing.
He is. Yeah. And he's by far
man.
The hottest director right now.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. And he's one of my favorites. I've always enjoyed his work.
I gave him a bad time because, you know, we've asked for him on the show.
Right.
When he's been here at the Wallace Annenberg and can never get him. And I said, so, buddy, now I know where you live now, so.
Coming to get you.
Yeah, we are.
Idle, we talked a little bit about your fellowship, the Bob Curry Fellowship.
Yes.
Is this something other people can audition for?
Yes. You don't necessarily have to be a conservatory student at the Second City. We have people from IOS, which recently closed. We have people from the ground. Groundlings, UCB, and it was a rigorous audition, but if I could talk about the experience, it's for people who are diverse in this industry, so people of all colors. And
does lack of talent count? Because I feel like I might be perfect for this kind of thing.
That'd be great.
All right,
yeah,
all right.
That'd be great.
So it's focused on diversity.
Yes.
And the stipulations of it, are there age stipulations as well?
Not that I know of, no. It's just, you know, if you're, you know, African-American, Latino, Asian-American,
okay.
whatever you are, if you feel diverse, show up.
An audition.
If you have talent, an audition.
And is it just an improv audition?
Improv mixed with monologues.
Wow.
So, or some people did stand-up. So you had a minute to do whatever you chose, stand-up, character, monologue, and then you improvised with other members of your group. And it was a two-day thing. Each group had about 9 people in it. And it was great, and it was really fun because it felt so supportive. And I'm so used to going into places and being like the only curly-haired black girl, or if I'm not, there's like 2 other ones that look just like me. And it was so beautiful, and I was so touched to see so many colorful people.
Cool.
And there was space for all of us.
That's
well,
great.
All 16 of us.
Improv is such a wonderful place for that because what you're bringing is your own experience.
Oh,
so your diverse background is exactly what you need to be able to do it. So
yeah,
that's a cool thing.
And you're not confined by anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if I wanted to play a very old, Jewish man, I could.
Right.
You know, I'm
right.
not confined by anything.
I'm turning into one slowly and surely over the years, I tell you, man. It was so funny when I was talking to my father about his early experiences and going to the theater and films and stuff. And he talked about now how many more kinds of entertainment there are available to us. And I think improv is certainly one of those to where you can say, look, I'm out there and I'm just bringing my experience and conveying my personal experiences mm-hmm. while taking on any role that appears to me. That's such a cool thing. Second City has shows going on that people can go see all the time,
all
correct?
The time. Mm-hmm.
How do they find out about those?
You can go to the Second City website, secondcity.com,
cool.
And then click on Hollywood, and you'll see there are shows, either student shows or premium shows, stand-up shows, storytelling, you name it.
I love it.
If it's comedy, it's it's there.
And for people who are interested in the Bob Curry Fellowship, if you feel like you might be an applicant who's interested in trying to get that, you can go out and you can email outreach, that's normal spelling, outreach at secondcity.com. And I believe they have candidates still, they're still accepting candidates for 2018. Is that correct?
No.
So you'd be applying for 19.
Yes.
Okay, which means you have to, but you should apply now, I believe.
It depends. You'll go on the website and they'll see that there's a window.
Cool.
Yeah.
I saw that a little bit last night, and I also think that there was a little spot on there that says that they're always accepting candidates, so I think you can apply at any time. But more than that, go get involved with Second City, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even if you're not going for this fellowship.
And not just, it's a great thing for actors, yes, but also if you're a musician, go take an improv class. Do whatever you can to get out of your head, which is what Michael was talking about, because it's so human in that you're not... Nothing is put on. You're just accepting each moment.
Right.
We want to live truthfully as artists.
Absolutely.
No
but
doubt.
Also as human beings.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, I don't know, I feel like improv can help the world somehow.
And it makes you laugh, so it brings
joy.
It
makes you laugh. Yeah. And not only that, the Second City's so great in that it's you're not just wacky laughing at things.
Right.
There's a lot of social commentary.
Thought-provoking material. Yeah,
they're known for that. It's not like a wacky talking head type place. It's always, you know, while people are laughing, they're softened and you can kind of teach them a little something.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they're laughing at themselves, that's great because that's what we need.
That's
we take ourselves so seriously.
I think that the art of performance, any kind of performance, is such an important thing for people to expose to. We certainly talked on this show a lot about getting up, taking your children to the theater. Don't sit on the couch. Get your phone out of your hand.
Right.
Stand up and go see a play. Go see a live performance because that's part of how we learn to connect with other human beings.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating what we've discussed today on the show and the work that you're committed to doing and the work, Michael, that you're committed to doing and yourself as well.
I think we've proved we're not all musical theater fluff here on State of the Arts.
Yeah.
We care about deep and important topics, right? Well, I love this today, and obviously I love the heart that both of you have and that both of you bring to this. I think certainly the projects you all are working on are projects that are important. I'd like to ask real quick if each of you could kind of let us know where people can find out more about you personally, where they can find out about your career. Idyll?
Sure. It's www.idyllbray.com. That's IDILBRAY.com.
That's right. Michael?
Horrible at this stuff, but I'm on Instagram, MichaelLeone1111. I have a website, MichaelLeone.com.
Last name is Leone, correct?
Yeah, L-E-O-N-I.
Michelle, where can people find out more about you?
Oh, you don't care about me.
You can listen to State of the Arts for one, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, well, I mean, our production company website is an 1111experience.com. You can see everything on all the projects there. Personally, I'm just on Instagram with my name, Michelle Kaufer, but you're not going to be able to spell it, so don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to the production company, follow us there, follow Michael, and that makes me happy. So
see you.
And now, embarrassing moments.
Ladies and gentlemen, the time has come on State of the Arts. Yes, yes, Michael ran in terror from the embarrassing moment sound effect. So, do either of you have a moment in your performance career that might be something that was unusual or something that was unexpected that happened that maybe made you think, I might not want to do this anymore, and yet you got over it and moved on to something good and positive? They both look at me and they go, nope, not at all.
I have so many moments that were embarrassing.
As an improv performer, it must just be dealing with them, you know, over and over again.
Yeah, yeah.
You have 1 minute to do tell the story.
Okay, one embarrassing moment. I went, a friend of mine was auditioning for In the Heights. The tour of In the Heights is an ensemble.
Great show.
And she was like, do you want to come? And I was like, oh, okay, sure, I'll go with you. So I went and I stood in the back and I was, you know, just going through it. And the choreographer was like, you, come in the front and open your eyes. And I was like, okay. So I did. And then they made cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts. And it was down to like... you know, just a handful of us. And then they were like, okay, your callbacks with your character shoes is in an hour. So I'm like, oh, great. This is great. Wow.
Wow.
So I didn't bring character shoes with me. And I live not too far. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go in a cab and then go and grab my character shoes. This is my chance. I'm going to get out of New York and you know, do something. Of course, no traffic on the way to my apartment. Everything that could go wrong went wrong on the way back.
No.
I was late. so terribly late, like 45 minutes late, and I like tap on the door meekly, and I like hold up my shoes.
I brought my shoes.
And they gave me the mean, like, I was like, I shouldn't go. I just shouldn't show up.
Right.
You know, I shouldn't go back, you know. But I was like, no, maybe
do
I
it.
Should.
Gotta do it.
You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
Because who knows? But they were just like, who do you think you are? Of course you can't come in here.
Wow.
So I couldn't.
How late were you?
Mortified. I was late, like really late.
Oh, wow.
Always bring your character shoes.
Wow. And yet you went out and auditioned again. Moral. You found other shows to be in, correct?
Yeah. No, totally.
That is the moral. Always bring your character shoes. Wow.
Yeah. And it's like you will be embarrassed in your career time again, but you learn from it.
That's right.
You get better.
That's right. Wow.
Michael?
I'm always embarrassed, but I think the one I can think of is I was directing a show, and one of the actors was diagnosed with diabetes and he had to leave the show, and I had to jump on last minute, and that was rough.
Wow, that is tough.
You had to go on for him?
Yeah. And I hadn't done it, acted or sang in a really long time.
Now, you wrote the show.
Yeah, and so directed it. Yeah.
Now, have you ever had to perform your own work before?
Yeah, I have.
So that, for me, that's terrifying, because even if I've written it, I still feel very locked into the script, and if I miss a tiny word, I'm like, no, that's not how I wrote that. And then I get in my head about that. That's harder to do than a lot of people think.
Yeah, I used to do it. I could never do it now.
Yeah.
When you're younger, you think you could do anything.
Right? Yeah, you're like, I could take that off.
Never do that now. Yeah.
And yet you survived and lived to write again, yeah?
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
Right?
Yeah. Amazing. Michael, this has been a really fun show. A lot of thought-provoking stuff today.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Happy to have you all here.
Right.
Thank you for having me.
And we wish you the best of success with each of your projects.
Yeah, thank you.
Continued success in your career.
Certainly like to encourage
and
everybody.
Michelle, you as well.
Thank you very much.
No doubt about it. Great to have
mystery.
You here today. That's right. Like to encourage everyone to go to Second City and look at their website a little bit. And certainly if you want to apply for the Bob Curry Fellowship, again, you can email outreach@secondcity.com.
And to you, sir,
yes.
Thank you for another wonderful week of talk here on LA Talk Radio.
We had a little bit of fun today. It was good to see you. I know you got a lot of craziness going on. Stage Star sounds like it's going amazingly well.
Yes.
So I can't wait to hear more about that. Yeah. I hope good things are ahead. I know they always are.
Where will I see you next?
Well, I'll certainly be on the radio.
All right.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.